Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everybody to another edition of the Grueling Truth Boxing Show. I'm your host, Mike Goodpasture, and as always, I want to welcome in my co-host, Joe Rodriguez. How you doing tonight, Joe?
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
All right. We have a special guest tonight that just got on the line. Marvis, you there?
I'm here, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing?
All right. Well, guys, tonight we have one of the underrated fighters, I believe, of the 1980s, Marvis Frazier. Marvis, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, sir.
Oh, it's an honor to have you on the show. I mean, I was a huge fan of your father and yourself. I know your father was one of the greatest that ever lived, I believe. So can't wait to talk to you about him and about your own career. So we'll start off when you were younger. I mean, what are some of your memories when you were younger? I think, what, early 60s, your dad won an Olympic gold medal. Do you have any memories of how this changed his and your family's lives?
No, not really. When I was young and my father won the gold medal, you know, I remember going on the plane, you know, when he was coming off the plane and he was showing me his medal. You know, when I was about there, I think I was about 4 or 5. I remember just being there with him and, you know, talking with him. And he was so picking me up, you know, up and down. You know how fathers do.
Yeah.
But it was great, and you know, and at that time I was still kind of young. But my father always had the rules of life. You know, there's no right way to do wrong and no wrong way to do right. And he said, you're going to do right. And he said, if you don't do right, you're going to smell this. He put his left fist to my nose and say, you're going to smell this.
Yeah, you don't want to get a whiff of that.
Yeah, and let me welcome in Joe Rodriguez, our co-host. And I can tell you this, Marvis, when we were talking about guests we wanted to get on the show, I know that Joe said that one of his dream guests to get on was yourself. So, Joe?
Yeah, Marvis, a real honor to have you on the show, really. A great admirer of your father being the great, great champion and the gentleman that he was. You know, people don't talk about what a great gentleman he was as well. I know you have always championed his cause, but I've always been a great admirer of yours as well. Given what your father, you know, is your father's business, what made you get into the family business?
Well, what made me get into boxing? You know, I would when my father would come home, I would see all those dollar bills. You know, he would give like either was $100 bill, you know, and he would play cards and stuff with him, with us, with like blackjack. And no matter what, you were going to get $100 no matter what.
Well, you had a great amateur career. You had several huge victories over the likes of Mitch Green, I think Tim Witherspoon, who was a guest on our show a few weeks ago, Bone Crusher Smith. I know you just missed out on making the 1980 Olympic team, losing to James Broad. Just talk a little bit about your amateur career, especially the fight with Broad to make the 1980 Olympic team.
Right. Well, when it came to Broad, you know, I was undefeated, and when he touched me, I was stooping down, and I was rolling a punch, and he just tapped me in the nerve in my neck. I don't know how Lord had it happen, but I went down. I was like, I'm on the ground, and I couldn't get up, I couldn't move, I was paralyzed. And I was just like, oh, man, and the referee said, oh, I apologize, Mr. Frazier, you can't, Mike, see you can't move. And he said, I have to stop the fight. And I said, yes, sir, I understand, you know. But you win some and then you lose some. But I did recover because after I got my neck straightened out, I fought Broad and I beat him, you know. So it was good.
I remember that, James Broad. I was rooting for you big time. In fact, my mother was telling me to shut up because I was screaming in the living room. that's a true story. That's an absolute true story. It's funny. I just thought of it when you just brought up James Broad. This is a two-part question for you, Marvis. One, did your father train you for your entire professional career?
He trained me, yes, for my total professional career. But my, the trainer who had me at my amateur was Sam Hickman. And he took me to 56-2, you know, as an amateur. So, but when I turned pro, my father took over.
And I remember when I first watched you, you were more of a stand-up boxer, and then your style changed. Why the change, and do you think the style suited you?
Well, I think, listening to my father, and, you know, he's a trainer, and, you know, he was a world champion, and, hey, let's go. You're going to listen to a world champion. And so that's what I did.
Do you think the style suited you, though?
Say it again.
I'm sorry, Mike. Do you think the style suited you? I apologize. Do you think the style suited you, or do you did you feel more comfortable as a stand-up boxer?
Well, whatever the coach teaches you, that's what you do. And you know, I had no problem. I was winning. You know. But the only thing that, you know, Sam Hickman, he was the guy that had taken me through my whole amateur career. And he said, you're not ready. And I was like, nope, I'm ready. when you're 10-0 and you're beating everybody, you know, and everything is going good, I was like, why not? I feel good. I feel great.
Well, then your professional career, I remember the first time I saw you fight was actually, I got yelled at from my mom for screaming too, but you fought on the Cooney Norton undercard. You fought a guy by the name of Steve Zalski. I just remember I was excited because, you know, I was thinking Joe Frazier when I saw Marvis Frazier because I was still pretty young. But then talk about, you got a shot early on in your career, I think after only like, 10 fights against Larry Holmes. But let's go a little bit before that. Probably your biggest win as a pro, just because of what happened with the Olympic team, was probably over James Broad. Do you have any stories about that fight?
Oh, yeah. That was like, you know, a comeback for me, you know, because James Broad had stopped me, and he, you know, everybody was riding on that. You know, when I lost to Broad, and I said, well, here we go. And then my father said to me, he said, get your name back, son. Get your name back. You know, so to him, to fight James Broad and beating him, that was an exciting thing in my life, you know. And I was like, man, I got my neck fixed. And, you know, he kept trying to throw that little tap punch like he threw when, you know, when he stopped me. I said, nah, I got it fixed now. Can't get me. So you can't get me now. I'm good. I'm in good shape, you know. And I felt good, and, you know, and it was great. It's fantastic.
Well, one thing, you know, some things are hereditary, and the one thing that was hereditary with you was the Frazier heart. No one had a bigger heart than your father, and you had a pretty big heart yourself. It took a lot to come back and beat James Broad. Next, you went up against Joe Bugner, which I'm sure must have felt funny because Joe Bugner went up against your dad. How was that fight?
Oh, man, I was trying my best to knock him. My father didn't knock him out, you know what I mean? And I was trying. I was like, man, I'm going to knock him out. I was throwing like, oh, man, 100 punches around. Because I was really trying to take him out. I really wanted to do that, but, you know, that wasn't God's way, so... But we did have a good time, and, you know, I won fan square, so.
Well, then after that fight, you get a shot at the heavyweight champion of the world, Larry Holmes, who I still believe is one of the top five heavyweight champions of all time. I think he's one of the more underrated fighters, doesn't get the credit he deserves. Could you tell us, I mean, number one, do you think it was a little bit too early in your career? And number
what
was it like fighting?
Well, number one, like I said, the guy that had taken me through my amateur career, Sam Hickman, he had told me prior to, you know, to fight, he said, you're not ready. And I said to him, yes, I am ready. But, you know, after the fight was over, and I said, yeah, you're right, Sam, I wasn't ready. So, but, you know, you got to do what you believe you can do, and I believe I can do it. And, you know, my father had taken over, and he thought that I could do it too. And so I was like, hey, let's go, you know. And so, you know, but the thing with me, when I lost, you know, I thought in my heart, man, that my father would hate me, man. You know, because like, man, I blew it for the family. You know, I'm a Frasier, and I didn't get the job done. And then, but my dad had his hands open, as wide as the world, man. And he came up and hugged me, and he said, "Hey, son, don't worry about it. Daddy loves you. Don't worry about it." And that made me feel good, man. You know, and no matter what, I just messed up so bad, you know, by embarrassing you, you know, because you were a world champion, and I wanted to be a world champion, and I just messed up so bad, you know. And it was the worst feeling in the world. I said, man, I know, Pop says he can't forgive me. I don't believe he can, but he did. And he said, he had his hands open as wide as the world, and said, hey, son, Daddy love you. Don't worry about that. It's okay. I got you. I love you. I don't care what nobody else say, Daddy love you.
Well, that's the most important thing of that whole story anyways, right there. I mean, you can't top that. A lot of kids don't have that.
I have the good Lord, and my father's going now, but I call my mother the sweet lady, you know, and I have two great parents, man, that just, you know, they have the best of everything, man. If any, I'm talking about with this, I mean, family could have a mom and dad like my mom and dad. I'm telling you, boy, this world would be great.
Yeah, and unfortunately these days, those parents are getting fewer and further between, too.
Yeah.
But after your Holmes fight, I think you probably had the best stretch of your career. You fought Bernard Benton, beat him, who I think he went on to be the cruiserweight champion. You beat James Quick Tillis, Jose Ribalta, Bone Crusher Smith. Mm-hmm. And that brought you to the Mike Tyson fight. Now, going into the Tyson fight, I mean, did you realize how good he was at that point, or was he just another guy for you to go beat?
I looked at Mike, and I'm like, I didn't really observe really anything about him, because, you know, he's Mike Tyson. I said, yeah, I'm Marvis Frazier. So that's the way I felt about it. I said, you Mike who? And, you know, and they said, Mike Tyson. I said, okay, well, I'm Marvis Frazier. So, that's the way I felt about it. And then, 30 seconds in the round, I was going to, I threw a jab, and that was the last thing I remember. And came back to conscience, and when my conscience came back, he came and kissed me. I was like, oh, man.
this is another two-part question, Marvis. Well, one is a comment, one is a question. I'll never forget after that fight, when they talked to your dad, your father said, and this made me laugh because this is your father 100%, he said, I'd like to get him in the gym and see if he's for real. Do you remember him saying that?
I don't remember.
Meaning Tyson.
Tyson,
Yeah, he said that. He said, I'd like to get him in the gym to see if he's for real. And I said, that's Joe Frazier. I'll never forget that. Well, you were pretty young when you retired, Marvis. Was it a tough decision for you?
No. I figure, you know, there's a lot of, you know, guys, you know, you have to know when to get in and when to get out, and I wanted to have all my faculties, and I wanted to, you know, I had a good beautiful wife and lovely children, and I just wanted to enjoy life after that, because I said, like, hey, you got to know when to get in and when to get out, you know, because then my father, he would always say to me, he says, hey, son, in this ring, you can get your brain shook, your money took, and name written in the Undertaker's book, so... I didn't want to be in the Undertaker's book.
Your father was one of the greatest fighters in history, in my opinion, and I think most. You were old enough to remember the fight of the century, which was the highlight of your father's career. What are your recollections of that time and that fight?
Oh, man, the fight of the century. But I remember I couldn't go. I had to listen to it on the radio, and then we were all in the basement, and we had my father had bodyguards in the house, and all outside the house, and you know, because people were threatening our family, and I just knew I was going to go to that first Ollie Frazier fight, and then my father said to me, he said, "No, you're not going." I was like, "What can I do, man? What can I do?" He said, "You can't go," because I said so. I said, "Okay." I'm not going to fight with your fridge. So I remember one time in the ring, I had just won the National Golden Gloves, and I was the most outstanding boxer in the National Golden Gloves. And when I came back home, I sparred with my dad because they wanted to do a little article on us, you know. And for some reason, I thought I was the heavyweight champion of the world because I won the National Golden Gloves. And my father, he said, I think it was Sports Illustrated was wanted to do like an article on us and, you know, just see us work out and get together. And they had a slogan, chip off the old champ. And for some reason, when we started boxing, all the things that my father, like when I got punished or he, spanked me or hit me for something, all those things came back to me in my head. And I was like, "I'm going to tag him right now." I was like, "I'm going to tag him right now." And I mean, I was hitting him with right hands, left hooks. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, a left hook caught me. And my father caught me from falling, and he said, "You all right, son?" And I said, "Lord Jesus," and that was the last time I got in the ring with him. I said, "No more air for me." Oh, man, yes. Yeah, my dad.
You know, there have been many things written about the relationship between your father and Muhammad Ali, with the three wars that they had, is there anything you can share that has not been said or written before about their relationship?
At the end of all the conflict and everything, those two guys came together in love, man, and they embraced each other. I was there when it happened. Yep, man, they embraced each other. Yep, Mr. Ali is a good man. Yep, he's a great guy. Yep.
I always felt that despite the what they said in public, I always felt that they had a deep respect. And even, it's kind of weird, even an affection for each other. Because, you know, when you're in the ring, and you know more than we do, you're in the ring, and these are two of the all-time greats, and they gave it to each other like nobody's business. And they stood up to each other. So, you know, they had a deep respect for each other.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. Yep.
Well, after you retired, I know that you became an ordained minister and started working with the prison ministries program. You want to talk a little bit about what got you into that and how that affected your life?
Having Christ in your life, that's the number one thing in my life, you know. The good Lord has been good to the Frazier family, and, you know, and my father, he used to always, you know, he always have us go to church on Sundays, you know, and so, you know, that stuck in me. And then, but, you know, like when you get about 16 or 17, you start doing your own thing, and your parents give you a choice of what you want to do. But this young lady my sister brought to the house, she was beautiful. And somehow she said to me, she said, "Well, the only way I'll go out with you is if you go to church with me." And if you don't go to church with me, you can't go out with me. And I was like, okay, I'm going to church with you. Let's go. You know? after a while, I kept going to church, and the Lord spoke to me, you know, and I went up and had invited Christ into my life, and, you know, it was beautiful. You know, I added the Lord to my life, and since I was 16, I've been walking with the Lord all those years, and I'm still trying to do it the good Lord's way, you know.
Well, you would think with prison ministries, you figure that the population would be difficult to reach. Do you have a tough time? Do you find that they respond to you?
Well, I think, guys respond to, especially brothers, they love boxing. They love the thing. And, and then especially, a Frazier, or the boxer, or a guy that's rugged, he knows Christ, and I try to, tell them the good news, try to pass the word, try to encourage and, make them feel good, Because some of those guys, they may not have friends to come to visit them, and it was just great, to be able to help somebody, and to put a little, give a little love to somebody who may not have had love. Shake a hand, make them feel good, Hey, how you doing? And what's going on, man? How's your life, It's a pleasure to meet you, and being here, Just showing the love, that's what it's about,
Sadly, we lost your father, the great champion that he was several years ago. One thing I've always found very ironic, well, really disgusting, really, your father from Philadelphia, not from Philadelphia, but, made his home, I know he's from the South, but his home base was Philadelphia. He should have been the shining beacon of that city, yet they have a statue of Rocky Balboa, who's not even a real person, in Philly. What do you think of your father's legacy? How do you think he's as you go around the country and you speak, how do you feel that his legacy is being treated?
Well, you can't force anybody to do anything, but my sister, she was pushing very hard for it, and they're looking to put a statue finally up, my sister Weeda. And so, it seems like it's a good thing now, that's going to happen for Joe Frazier and for the family, and something that's good and something that's very positive.
Well, I know that I actually made contact with you through reading about the book that you wrote, and the author was named Jamie Potter.
Right. Yeah, Jamie.
Okay, just explain to us how the book came to fruition and how Jamie helped you with that book, how he got in contact with you to help write the book.
Well, when we first met, me and my father were at a little store that was in South Philly, and Jamie just happened to be coming in. He was delivering eggs, to the store. And when he came in, he said, "Hey, that's Joe Frazier." He said, "Do you think I can get an autograph?" I'll make sure. I was like, "Papa," "Papa, no problem." And so my father signed autographs, and then from there he said, "You think I can get your number?" And I was like, "Hey, man, you can call me anytime." And from that we became friends. We became friends. And Jamie next thing I know, he said, "Well, how about if I write a book on you?" I said, "What, a book on me? Who am I?" That's the way I feel. And he said, "Man, you're a Frazier, man." I was like, "Yeah, okay." As if you think it'll work, it sounds good to me. And he did a great job with the book.
How can people get a hold of the book?
Amazon
Kindle?
Yeah, Amazon Kindle, that's right, yeah. Or you can go to meetmarvisfrazier.com. Yeah, you can get it there also.
Yeah, and you also have a Facebook page, Meet Marvis Frazier also, I believe. All right, Joe?
Yeah, Marvis, I this may be a little bit of a sensitive question. You know, you suffered tough defeats with Holmes and Tyson. Do you have any relationship with them today?
Oh, definitely. I don't have a big relationship with Mike, but with Larry, yeah. A couple of days back, Larry came to a celebration they just had a celebration for Marvis Day. So I don't know what it was for, but it was nice. It was great, and I enjoyed it, and it was loving, and it was nice, and it was kind, you know, and I thank Larry and his lovely wife for coming, and it was beautiful, and Nate Miller came down, and just a whole lot of great people, and the whole Ariana New York, hugged me, and, you know, took pictures and autographs and, you know, everything. You know, it was very nice.
Well, if you could ever get Larry to do the show, Larry was like one of my heroes when I was little.
Oh. Yeah, he did do a show. And he was singing, and he said, "I'm gonna keep on singing."
Oh, he can come on and he can sing and do whatever he wants. Actually,
yeah, that's right. That's what he did. He sang, and I think I sang a song, and we had a good time. It was great. It was really good.
Well, we are running out of time. We got about 3 minutes left. I just want to say from my end, it's been truly an honor to talk to you. Like I said, I've always admired the Frazier family, you and your father. It's been great talking to you. Joe?
Wow, listen, there are no words. I go back and watch your father's fights over and over again because one of his great qualities was when he was, you think he's down, and then that old left hook comes out of nowhere and just straightens everything out. So it's always a thrill watching him.
Well, I thank you guys for allowing me to come on the radio. And I want everybody to know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you have Christ in your heart and in your mind and your soul, you got it all.
Well, Marvis, you're welcome to come back on this show anytime. Like I said, I mean, I don't think there's a more respected family in boxing than yours. So it's been truly an honor, and once again, thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you guys. Take care.
Yep.
Thank you,
God
Marvis.
Bless you too, Marvis. Have
right.
a good night.
All right. All right, you too, brothers. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, Joe, there we go. We knocked one off your bucket list. We got to interview Marvis Frazier. What'd you think?
Oh, you know, as every bit the gentleman that I thought he was going to be, so no surprises there. And it is nice, you know, I'm a father and a grandfather myself, so to hear how close he was with his father and how kind his father was to him is really nice to hear.
Yeah, that's something you don't hear much nowadays, so... And actually, we talk about that by ourselves all the time, the way society's gone to hell just because parents aren't like that anymore. But we will be back next Tuesday night with another boxing show and hopefully another special guest. You can listen to me and Matt Andrews Cabbage Thursday night with the Nigerian Nightmare, Christian Okoye. And I'm sure Joe will probably call in and ask Christian a question. Now, you wanted to take him on one-on-one, right?
No, I just wanted to ask him about Steve Atwater.
No, I think that you should challenge him to a physical duel with football pads.
My wife would be happy because I have life insurance, so she'll be very happy.
Oh, that's good. Could I get on that policy, too, before that happens? Could I be one of the beneficiaries? But
wait in
line. I think we had a great time tonight with Marvis Frazier. We'll be back next Tuesday night. Remember, Thursday night, Christian Okoye will be on the air. Tomorrow night, George, Bisger is supposed to be on, who played with the San Francisco 49ers, was one of the guys that sued the NFL over concussion protocol. So make sure you tune in for all those shows. Speaking for Joe Rodriguez, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been listening to The Grueling Truth, where legends speak.